Hewlett-Packard hopes you didn't notice what happened over the weekend.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Hewlett-Packard's former CEO, Mark Hurd, is out, and the search for a new leader is on. Hurd resigned on Friday in a scandal involving allegations of sexual harassment and fudged expense reports. Analysts say HP is hunting for a new CEO at a critical time. Marketplace's Jeff Horwitz joins us live. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Bill.
What is at stake for Hewlett-Packard?
HP's had a pretty good run since Mark Hurd took over 5 years ago. The company's worth about twice as much as it was then. They passed Dell in the PC market. They're still the leader in printers. And they've spent about $20 billion buying up companies to expand into other kinds of technology. But HP's already warned that computer growth is slowing down. So the question is, what's next? How do you keep growing this 300,000-person company?
Right. And amid all of that, the company has to choose a new leader. Who are they looking at?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so much a question of who as what are your priorities. Do you focus on the core business, computers, printers? In that case, there are a lot of HP vice presidents who'd like the job, or you maybe nab a top executive from somewhere like IBM. But HP is also trying to make a play in networking and servers. In that case, maybe you hire someone away from Cisco. Or is the future all about smartphones and tablets? So perhaps HP cuts right to the chase, tries to pick off the chief operating officer of Apple.
Interesting. And what is HP rather saying about all this uncertainty?
The interim CEO, her name is Catherine Lesjak. She's really on the offensive. She's been talking to reporters a bunch over the weekend, trying to reassure people that Mark Hurd was only one person and HP isn't going to slow down one bit. Those are her words.
Okay. Marketplace's Jeff Horwitz. Jeff, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
Some slightly happier corporate news. The formerly bankrupt Chrysler said this morning it's still losing money, but less and less of it. Sales rose in the last 3 months, and Chrysler only lost $172 million. Stocks in Europe are up solidly this morning, more than 1%, and most of the major Asian markets were higher. On Friday, we found out American employers cut more jobs in July. The Dow Industrials fell 21 points and closed at 10,653. Time is running out for BlackBerry in Saudi Arabia. Authorities there have given the phone's makers until today to reach a deal, and if they don't, it could mean another shutdown of services. The BBC's Ben Thompson sent this report from Dubai.
Reports over the weekend suggest BlackBerry maker Research in Motion has now agreed to some of Saudi's demands, most crucially the installation of a server within the country. Saudi Arabia says that's a deal BlackBerry has already granted to other foreign governments, including the United States. But on Friday, Saudi Arabia blocked access to emails, messaging, and web surfing. The services were later restored, but for users in Saudi Arabia, that uncertainty makes doing business difficult. John Sfakianakis is a chief economist at Bank Saudi Fransi.
If my business doesn't find a suitable alternative, either I have to come to the office or log in from home. That means that when I'm traveling, I cannot use a BlackBerry to communicate. And so that is a big inconvenience.
Other governments in the region will now be expecting the same deal. And for users across the Middle East, it raises even more worries about the access governments could soon have to their private messages. In Dubai, I'm the BBC's Ben Thompson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
The NCAA recently signed a broadcast deal for almost $11 billion. With money like that at stake, it's time to grow up, college athletes. Reporter Sally Herships says you just can't afford a youthful mistake in the age of the internet.
Kevin Long makes his living collecting bad words. He keeps a list, 450 of them to be exact.
Well, you've got the George Carlin words that you can't say on TV, anything that deals with violence, sex, drugs.
You know, words like those expletives gave Long an idea. He founded a software company, UDiligence, which monitors college student social media. But not just any students, college athletes. Schools pay UDiligence between $1,500 and $5,000 a year to flag updates, tweets, and posts with racy words. When young players stumble online, their questionable judgment can be seen by enough viewers to fill a stadium.
In this new day of social media, employees, students, and athletes are quickly finding out it's better to keep your thoughts to yourself.
We have learned more about a UT player who is kicked off of the football team.
Sources tell Fox 7 he posted a racial slur on his Facebook page.
So more and more schools are keeping tabs on their team's social networking. Athletes allow themselves to be monitored, so it's perfectly legal. And over 24 schools use due diligence. Joe Favorito does sports marketing for the pros. He says money from athletics can reach all over campus, funding scholarships, art, and music. It can't afford sloppy student situations.
They're selling sponsorships. So you can become the official bank of the University of Texas, or you could become, you know, the official insurance company of the University of Delaware.
And Favorito says crisis management is expensive. It can run $20,000 to $25,000 a month to clean up a school's reputation.
It's like insurance. If you don't have insurance and you have something catastrophic happen to you, you always pay a lot more in the end.
Due Diligence CEO Kevin Long says it's not just schools. Athletes are at risk, too. They've got their futures to think about. So he gives this advice. He calls it the mom rule. If you're not okay with your mom reading it, seeing it, or getting it in a text, think twice before putting it out there. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, there is a barbecue stand in Maine called Grillzilla. Its logo is a smiling green dinosaur, alligator, dragonish creature with a red apron. Enter the Japanese entertainment conglomerate Toho, which owns the rights to Godzilla. Its lawyers have ordered Grillzilla to stop using that name in connection with any, quote, reptile-like monster. Now, is Toho just a company legitimately enforcing its trademark? Or
a gigantic beast stalking the earth, crushing all before it in a cyclonic cavalcade of electrifying horror.
You decide. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
When you're out on
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.